Brother, I wish that would happen, but nobody has ever even said, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, they do not only not compensate you, but they don't want to even admit, although the courts have agreed that this case was based on racism and not reason, on concealment of evidence and not disclosure of evidence. They don't want to admit that.
Let me just read what Judge Sorokin said in releasing you.
Uh-huh.
I cannot, in the face of the conclusions reached in my opinion and the injustices found, permit Mr. Carter to spend another day or even an hour in prison, particularly considering that he has spent almost 20 years in confinement, based upon a conviction which I have found to be so constitutionally faulty. To deny the relief sought would be inconsistent with my own ruling and render compassion meaningless. If my ruling is correct, Mr. Carter's past imprisonment may have been a travesty. To continue it would be even a greater one. There is no evidence before me now which would permit me to conclude that society will be harmed by his immediate release. Human decency mandates his immediate release. And I think that a lot of Canadians, Ruben, would find it incredible that after spending 20 years behind bars for a crime you did not commit, that you don't get an apology, let alone a cent.
You got that right. And Judge Sorokin's ruling was upheld all the way to the United States Supreme Court. So it was absolutely right on point. And it was something that I had been saying since 1966 when I was first accused of this thing. And that's what was permitted me to exist in the fashion that I existed in, because I knew that what Judge Sorokin ultimately said, I knew existed from the day one.
Ruben, are you a Canadian citizen now?
I'm trying for dual citizenship, yes.
And man, this country, Canada is not United States. This country, try and get your Canadian citizenship. I'm sure you love it here, and you're going to be your life is going to be all the better here, man.
My life has been perfect since I've been here. I've been here since 1988.
Sir, thanks for calling. You want to say goodbye?
All right. Bye-bye, Ruben. Bye-bye.
Go back to the phones at 790-0600 for Ruben Hurricane Carter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Melnick, Mr. Carter.
Hi.
Afternoon.
Let me just, preface this call by saying that, and I guess in all of Mitch's days on the radio, both at this station and up the dial, I think that Mr. Carter is perhaps the finest guest that you have had.
That's so nice.
I would agree with you, sir.
I
thank you.
Held the call. I'm at a payphone at the corner of Crescent and De Maisonneuve. I'm a student at McGill University here in Montreal, and I am a history student. And one of the topics that I find very interesting is racism, and it's a topic that I've studied, great length. One of the things that I've discovered, I guess, in my research is that both now and in the past, a great deal of racism has been directed towards African Americans in Canada, and especially here in Quebec, and perhaps even more especially in Montreal. I'm just curious as to what you've experienced. I know you're more of a celebrity than anything else, Mr. Carter, but what have you experienced as an Afro American living in Canada in terms of racism?
Well, I tell you. And I approach this from having come from America to Canada. And if I look at it that way, I would have to say that I experienced very little or none at all or no racism at all in Canada. But I know that it exists. Racism exists in Canada because Native people are representative in the prisons in a disproportionate number.
And do you think perhaps that a great deal of racism is also directed at not just Native Canadians, but other African Americans?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the relationship between the black community and the police have never been worse than they are today. Racism anywhere is a terrible, terrible thing. Racism anywhere is prison. And just as I was talking about how prison affects everyone in prison, racism affects everyone who who suffers the effects of racism, even those who give it and those who receive it. It's not good for anybody. But I've never encountered any racism as long as I've been in Canada, but I know it does exist. And wherever it raises its ugly head, then I'm there to try to squash it out if I can. Of course, I'm only one person, but I have a group of people with me who are very very strong in this way.
Thank you very much for the call.
Bye-bye.
Because we're running short. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Let's go back to the phones. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. If Reuben Hurricane Carter was boxing today, he would be the undisputed middleweight champion of the world.
Thank you, brother.
I'm going to tell you why I say that. There's three champions: Julian Jackson, and Reggie Johnson, and James Toney. Toney can't make the weight no more, so he's given up the title, so that title is vacant. But Julian Jackson and Reggie Johnson would be sparring partners for Reuben Hurricane Carter.
Did you see Reuben fight?
I saw him fight. I didn't see him fight in person. I saw him on TV or in pictures. But I want to ask Hurricane Carter, what was the punch he used to knock out Emil Griffith? Was it a left hook?
Well, what started him on his way was a left hook to the body.
Oh, but it wasn't a single left hook punch to the chin.
No, no, there was a barrage of them. Once I knew that Emil was hurt, I wasn't about to let him regain his conscience.
Oh, no, don't let him get away.
Oh, if he got away, if Emil would have got away, he would have beat me good.
But you didn't let him get away.
No, I didn't let him get away.
A Hurricane, you were a good fighter. He was
thank you very much. And you have good memory.
The reason I asked you was that a left hook, if you had knocked him out with a left hook, I was going to say that was the number two shot that was heard around the world. See, the number one shot was the left hook that Ray Robinson hit Fulmer with.
That's right. You remember that?
Yeah, I remembered. I got it on film. I watched it.
Wasn't that a beautiful left hook?
That was the greatest punch in the history of boxing.
Ever thrown. He fainted to the right. He fainted to the body with his right hand, and as Gene Fulmer lunged in, he hit him with that left hook right on the chin.
Yeah, okay, I won't take no more of your time, but Hurricane, it was a pleasure talking to you, and you were a great fighter.
Oh, thank you very much, my friend.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye now.
8 minutes before six. Reuben, we're going to go out with the song. Do you ever get tired of hearing it?
No, I don't. No, I don't. In fact, I'm rather amazed that it's about me.
What did Bob Dylan first say to you when you finally made it out for good?
Bob is a... is a wonderful person. He said, come on, let's go ride some horses along the trail. That's what he said. Because he's a horseback rider himself.
Who's going to play you in the movie?
I don't know. We want to tap some undeveloped talent so they can make a mark for themselves. This is a story in a movie giving everybody a chance because everybody gave me a chance. And we want to return that to the people. Great.
I eagerly await the movie version of your life. It's going to be a knockout, Reuben.
Oh, yes, it is, Mitch. And listen, brother, you take care of yourself, and I'm so glad to have spoken to you again.
It's my pleasure, and hopefully if you ever get around to touring with the movie, we'll sit you down here one day.
Yes, we will. We'll meet. That's a promise.
Take care.
Okay, you do the same now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Far away in another part of town, Reuben Carter.